If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Women Physicians Lead, hosted by Dr. Lisa Herbert, helps women physicians move from surviving to thriving in their personal and professional lives. Dr. Lisa shares leadership tips, burnout support, stress management strategies, and inspiration from women physicians who've made remarkable transitions into leadership roles. There's a fantastic episode that you should check out called Taking Care of Yourself During the Journey, about how women physicians can care for themselves while on their leadership journeys. Check out Women Physicians Lead on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.
You got to speak up when you don't know something. You got to ask questions and don't feel like you're asking a dumb question, because the doctors don't know what you're feeling. You have to tell them.
Welcome to the Nurse Wellness Podcast, empowering nurses to manage stressors so they can intentionally reconnect with their purpose, optimize their wellness, and ultimately show up in the world the way they want to be seen. I'm your host, nurse practitioner Wendy Garvin Mayo, your stress solution strategist. In this podcast, you'll receive actionable stress management tips, insightful interviews, and strategies that focus on inspiring you to be your best, do your best, and give your best. With that, let's get started. Hi, Stephanie. Welcome to the Wellness Platform. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Wendy. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, you are more than welcome. I'm really excited about this topic. Anytime we're talking about a diagnosis, you know, people call it disease, but a diagnosis, I love to have people like yourself on, because, you know, our community are healthcare professionals, and it's always nice to hear the patient's perspective so we can better take care of society. So let's start by you, because I'm not going to spoil it, like why you're here. I'll let you tell us why you're here. But let's start off by telling our listeners a little bit about you. Who is Stephanie Nguyen?
So Stephanie Nguyen, I am an IBD survivor, which is inflammatory bowel disease survivor. I'm a Crohn's survivor. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease 5 years ago. I'm also an author. I love to write. And so I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease 5 years ago and didn't know what was going on with my body. I just know that I had this urgency to go to the bathroom, and it started from, you know, just taking off to the bathroom a lot of times. And then I started seeing the bleeding. And so from there, it was like, okay, I need to go see somebody. And so from there is where I decided, okay, I need to go get help. I need to find out what's going on. I always had a primary care physician, always did my annual physicals. I thought that because I had lost two children, that maybe the reason why I was having rectal bleeding was from the deliveries, right? And so I didn't know what questions to ask, because I had never experienced this before. I've suffered with constipation, but I never said anything. You know, I just thought that was a part of my norm. And so what I found with going through this journey is that you got to speak up when you don't know something. You got to ask questions. And don't feel like you're asking a dumb question, because the doctors don't know what you're feeling. You have to tell them, right? And so so I learned that. And so going through this journey with IBD has really been a journey, to say the least. But I'm also the founder of the Stephanie A. Nguyen Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization where our mission is to remove health and financial disparities in the underserved African-American community, specifically those who are diagnosed with Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, which are forms of inflammatory bowel disease, and other underserved marginalized communities as well.
Yeah, that's really good. I love that, you know, you were diagnosed and now you are you have a whole platform really to support individuals who are disadvantaged. That's amazing. Yes. So tell us about your experience of, you know, being worked up, right? So you said you had this urgency, you had blood, you went to your primary care doctor. How was that experience interacting with the healthcare system as a Black woman?
Oh man, let me tell you, like, so I'll go even before, like when I started this journey, I had gotten pregnant in 2010, right, with my daughter. I went full term, got to the full term, my last appointment before we went into, you know, before I go and deliver, and I had found out that she passed away. And they were like, we don't know, you know, your body just rejected the baby. And so I was like, okay. So I didn't understand that. I just figure, okay, my body rejected the baby. Can I have another baby? You know, because in my mind, I'm like, I need to replace this baby because I really wanted this daughter, right? And so they was like, yeah, you know, in 4 months, you can try again. I tried again in 4 months. Actually, yeah, 4 months, got pregnant again. Went 5 months, lost that baby, right? Same thing happened. And so going to my 6 weeks checkup, my doctor noticed, she was like, hey, you know, you have some rectal bleeding. And I was like, oh yeah, that's from me pushing. You know, I'm thinking that's from me pushing the baby out, like, you know. And she was like, no, that's not from that. This is in your rectum. And so I was like, okay. She said, we need to get you a colonoscopy. So she ordered a colonoscopy, got the colonoscopy. I was told that I had a fissure tear. Oh, Miss Wynn, you have a fissure tear. It'll heal on its own. We're going to give you some Procto-Foam, use it, and you go from there. So I did that. And then fast forward. So the rectal bleeding went away, but then fast forward, I started having these symptoms again. Like I started having lumps under my arm. I went to the doctor. I said, hey, I have a lump. I'm having these lumps. They keep reoccurring. And he's like, mucus is coming out. What is this? Like, what's going on? And they was like, oh, you need to stop using deodorant. Okay. So I went on this journey of not using deodorant, found a natural deodorant, did everything. And then one day my son and I was out at brunch one day, and I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. So I took off to the bathroom. And when I went to the bathroom, this was one of my urgency moments. This was actually the first one. When I went and I went to the bathroom, there was nothing there. I just had this urgency that I needed to eliminate. Like I had to go really bad, but there was nothing there. At least I thought. Until I got up and I looked and it was blood. So I was like, oh my God, we gotta go. Like, I gotta get home. Like, we gotta go. We can't. And so I told my son, we gotta go. So we took off. I went home and it happened again. Like that urgency started again. And I was like, something is wrong. So the next day I called my primary. They scheduled me for a colonoscopy. And it was there when I had the colonoscopy, and the GI doctor at that time came out and said, we sent the results to off for biopsy. He was like, but I think it's ulcerative colitis. It's UC. You know, you need to stay away from anything with the drive-through window and toilet paper. So I did just that. Like, I started on this journey of eating clean as I possibly could. Stop going through drive-through windows, restaurants, fast food restaurants. I just started on this holistic approach. And so I went for my checkup, the follow-up to the biopsy. And that's when the nurse practitioner at the time for that GI doctor, she said, okay, we got your results back. It is ulcerative colitis. And which do you want to take? Do you want to take Lielda or Humira? And I'm like, What is that? What is ulcerative? First of all, what is ulcerative colitis? What is Lielda and Humira? Like, is there anything? Can you give? They couldn't give me anything. They didn't give me no pamphlet about the drug. They just gave me an option to choose. And I'm like, I don't want to take either one of those. Like, I don't want to take this medicine without you telling me what's going on. So what I did at that point, I started researching the best GI doctors in my area. In the meantime, my symptoms are getting worse. Not only that, I'm losing weight. I can't keep nothing down. I'm like tanking. So I find a GI doctor. I was referred to a rectal and colon specialist. My primary sent me to a rectal and colon specialist. Went to the rectal and colon specialist. Now, mind you, I'm like 189 at the time. I went from 189, like I'm losing weight, like 20 pounds a month. Like it's like the inflammation was just eating up my muscle, my fat, everything that you could possibly think. I mean, quick, fast, right? But I didn't understand what was going on. And so So by this time, I go to the colon and rectal surgeon. She do a biopsy. She put me to sleep, do a biopsy to make sure that it's not colon cancer. They want to rule out colon cancer. Okay, so then they find out it's not colon cancer. She said, listen, sweetie, I think this is Crohn's disease. Based on your bottom, it looks like Crohn's disease. And so I think you need to see a GI doctor. So I go back to my primary doctor. My primary doctor refers me to a GI doctor. At this time, I'm still in denial because I'm like, nobody can tell me what this is. Like, nobody can give me any information. So I start researching. I go to Google to research what this is. And so I find a doctor, a GI doctor, like 30 minutes from my home. And I go over there. He was like, Miss Nguyen, you know, we have an office closer to you. You don't have to come here. So this is like the fourth doctor that I've seen, right? And so he was like, yeah, it's definitely ulcerative colitis. I'm going to recommend that you go see this doctor in our practice closer to you. So when I finally I went through five doctors to get to my diagnosis. And that diagnosis was Crohn's colitis. And I was so like, okay, so what are we going to do? I mean, at this time, I went from 180. At this point, I'm from 189. I went from 189 pounds. I'm down to 112. So I'm really, really tanking. Flare ups really bad. Had never experienced this in my life before. And so when I got to my doctor that I have now, like, I was so sick and ill. I didn't know what questions to ask. He just knew, like, okay, Miss Wendy, I've been waiting on you. This is what we're going to do. He just took charge. Like, he knew all the tests that I needed. I'm going to do this test. I'm going to do a CT scan with contrast. I'm going to do this. We got to do, a bone scan to make sure everything is good. We got to do this. I mean, he really got aggressive with my treatment. And so, but what I didn't understand prior to getting to him is what questions to ask.
Stephanie, how old were you?
41.
Okay.
And looking back, we found out that, so the Crohn's, I had Crohn's when I was pregnant with my daughter. They just didn't test me. They didn't check my inflammation markers. I mean, why would they? Because I didn't have any symptoms, right? So, there was infection there, but they didn't know. They saw bacterial infection, but they didn't know, like, okay, well, let me check her ES, her SED rate. Let me check her, all these markers to make sure that, you know, her inflammation is down or whatever. They wouldn't, because I've never had this condition before. And so, yeah, I was 41, and it was like, it was the most devastating time, because I didn't know what was going on. I was so small. I stopped eating. I stopped drinking. I couldn't, because this condition, it makes you not want, you don't want to eat because you don't want to go to the bathroom. And sometimes you're so nauseated, like you can't keep nothing down, even water. Water wouldn't stay down at sometimes. But
I'm just thinking about you going through this and being a mom and trying to work and all the things. It must have been a very stressful time in your life. And I also want to take the opportunity to say sorry for the loss of your children. That's hard.
That's one thing that I realized too, Wendy, is that I internalize stress. Even with raising my two old, they're adults now, but my sons, like, you don't know that you're internalizing it, but I would sleep off. Like, if I was, every time they would leave, leave home to go to school, I would be like, you know what, just keep, I would pray over them. And I was always on the edge when they left me. Cause this world, you don't know what's out here. Like, and so they knew right from wrong, but still as a mother, it's natural for you to be concerned about your children, but I internalize it a lot. I would sleep it off, or You know, that's how I got through stress. I would take naps, and I thought it was natural. You know, hey, I'm just taking a nap.
Right.
But I was stressed out.
Yeah.
You know, and then from the loss of the girls, that really, like, that stress alone was so, that was devastating because I had never experienced anything like that before. And, you know, when you go full term, you have to prepare, even at 5 months, 5 months and above, you have to prepare funeral arrangements. So just, and to know that it's something inside of you, a bacteria or something inside of you that's so strong that can take your kid. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why that's how the Stephanie A. Wynn Foundation was formed, is due to my near-death experience with IBD. I knew that if I was going through this, who else is going through this? Like, there's other people that look like me. And so the treatment, when you talked about the treatment, how did that look? The treatment for me was different. I have insurance, but I didn't have enough insurance because my provider wasn't in the network. So that meant that I had to pay out of pocket 20%. So it was one day. And so that meant that my infusions were upwards of $1,000, $991.65, right? Out of pocket. And so I didn't know at the time that there were, I didn't know anything about patient assistance programs at all. I didn't know anything about that until one day the nurse got so tired of me paying this amount. She pulled me outside and she said, "Miss Wynn," she said, I need to talk to you. She said, "You know, you're the only patient that pays this kind of money for infusions." She said, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" And at that time, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like, I just need to get my, in my mind, I'm like, I just need to get my infusion because I need this to live, right? And at the time, I was on Remicade, and so, which is a biological medication that treats Crohn's. And so she said, you do know about the patient assistance program. She said, when you go back there and see the doctor today, you ask him about the patient assistance program. Knew nothing about this. I've been paying out of, like, struggling. My parents had to, it was so embarrassing that my parents had to help me during this time because I got laid off of my corporate job. They wouldn't extend any more time. They wouldn't even allow me to work from home. And then just because I had tools in place, like short-term, long-term disability, that helped me out so much to get my treatments. But once that was over, I had to find a healthcare plan that I could use that would support me getting these infusions. But I just was underinsured. And so when she kept saying, "You do understand what I'm saying. You are the only patient." I didn't understand what she was saying until she said, "You're the only Black patient that pay this kind of money out of pocket. The other patients don't pay this kind of money because they're on the patient assistance program." So I kind of got mad. I was mad. I really was mad because I felt like, well, why wouldn't they tell me that? You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't you, if you know this is available, and then it's just our treatment, our pain, like the pain that I was going through, like you have to, I noticed that our pain is different. Like, I don't know if it's, they feel like it's different, but if you're in pain and you're telling someone you're in pain, like, help them. Don't let them suffer through it. Help them with the ease of the pain or help them with a solution to this problem. And so I think when we talk about health disparities, they're really real. And I think sometimes because doctors are so busy seeing patients, they're so busy. I got this patient, they're looking at their schedule. They don't have anything to do with the business side of it, like the money part. They just, I got to see this patient. But not knowing, like, there are some discrepancies here. There are some disparities that's going on. And so how do you do that? And what I ended up doing was I ended up leaving my doctor's office because of the way one of the nurses was treating and talking to me, right? I made a decision out of emotions when I should not have, right? Instead of, because I didn't want no one to lose their job. But because of this treatment, it almost cost me my life again. You know, I switched doctors. That doctor was prescribing me a medication that wasn't good. I was really sick. I'm still coming up. I'm getting better from that decision. But again, when we talk about the treatment, like just because, and again, the treatment is different when it comes to our healthcare. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter where you come from.
When you say the treatment is different for us, unpack that a little bit. And I want to understand exactly what you're saying and how your organization helps with that, help with like the advocacy.
So what happened is like, okay, for example, you know that I have to pay this 20%. And you know that is, I've already expressed to the, they knew that I couldn't afford this 20%. So my question was at this particular day was, hey, can you refer me to another doctor that I can afford? Because I can't afford this amount of money. Like, I just can't, but I need this treatment. And so nothing was done until I came back to go get my next infusion. And that's when one of the staff pulled me outside. So that alone is a disparity, because you all knew, you know, if you know you can help somebody, and I get it, it's a business. I understand, you know, having a practice, it is a business. But if you know this is available to these patients, then why wouldn't you get them the help that they need? Or teach them, you know, or ask, you know, hey, this is how much this is going to be. And they tell you that my doctor, you can't even go back to the back without paying your money up front. So you already know, like, you can't go in there. In my mind, every time I would go, I got to have $1,000.
Yeah.
I got to have this $1,000 because they won't see me. They won't see me. I can have $500. They won't see me. I got to have this $1,000. Right. And so the purpose of the reason why that, and that was the birth of the Stephanie A. Wynn Foundation, is because there are people out here that look like me that are going to the doctor. They don't know what questions to ask. They don't know how to express how they're feeling. They just know that they're in pain. I'm in pain. My stomach hurt. I'm nauseated. I got an urgency to go. You know, I need, you know, can you help me? You know, I need help. And so because I didn't ask the right questions, maybe I wouldn't have went through 5 GI doctors, right? Had I known what questions to ask in the beginning, hey, these are the symptoms that I'm experiencing. I see blood in the toilet. I'm having an urgency to go. I'm having nausea. You know, I was just so, because I was so ill, I couldn't even speak for myself. And my parents, they couldn't speak for, they tried, but they didn't really know like what the pain was, the pain level was. They just was, hey, she's sick. That's all I know is she's sick and she's losing a lot of weight. We need to help her. And so the purpose of the Stephanie A. Wynn Foundation is to help to remove the health and financial disparities in our community. And that is by way through outreach programs, education, through patient advocacy. We have an IBD patient navigator program where we teach IBD survivors how to advocate for themselves. When you go to the doctor, what to ask for. If you go to a specialist, what you need to ask, like, what is the solution? Like, what, me coming here, what problem are you going to solve for me? And so you have to be able to ask those questions. You're running this test for what? You got to educate yourself on, okay, you're doing a SED rate. Why are you doing a SED rate? Do you see that there's, I need to know why you're doing this test. If my iron is low, what are we doing to get it up? Right? What are we doing to get rid of the anemia? And so I think when we start asking questions, you know, why are you doing this CT scan with contrast or this MRI with contrast? What are we looking for? And what is that going to tell us? Right? And so I didn't know to ask those questions. It wasn't until my doctor started giving me these lab slips, and I would look at the lab slips and I see these acronyms. okay, well, what does said rate mean? What does this mean? So I started educating myself because I need to know. And I would ask questions. Okay, what does that mean? So I'm on Remicade and you want to give me 6 MP? Like, why are we doing that? Why are we taking all this medicine? And so you have to ask questions, because sometimes there may be something that doesn't agree with you. You know, like some people, they'll put you on prednisone, and prednisone, it does what it does, but sometimes it causes other side effects too. So you have to ask those questions. Okay, I'm going to take this steroid. What are the side effects? Because again, this is your health. This is your life. And you have to be able to advocate. So our IBD patient navigator, what we're doing with that program is bridging the gap between the patient and the provider. Because what I've noticed is that sometimes providers, and this is coming from a patient standpoint, point of view, providers, when they get in the room with the patients, they're high level. They talk high level to the patient, right? And I had to tell a doctor one time, doc, listen, I'm not your peer. I'm just a regular person. So I need you to speak to me in layman's term, right? I didn't go to med school, so I need you to speak to me in those terms. And they will, like, just simple. Tell me what does this mean?
Yeah, you know, but you be comfortable advocating and speaking up to say that, opposed to just nodding your head.
Right. You
know? So that's really good. So can anyone be part of your program, and how will they get in contact with you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, so they can go to the Stephanie A. Wynn Foundation, and that's Stephanie with the PHANIE, A as in apple, WYNN foundation.org. And they can get information there. They can, send a request. We have volunteer opportunities. We do our annual fundraising event. That's the Let's Talk IBD Health and Wellness Symposium. And that's where we have, we just talk about like this year, our focus is access. And so our goal is to get the people access to healthcare, get them access to primary care physicians. There are so many Crohn's patients that have this diagnosis. They don't have a primary care physician. They keep going to the emergency room because they haven't been properly diagnosed. They have the condition. They just don't know it yet, right? Or they have symptoms of IBD or IBS for that matter. And they just won't go and get a primary care physician. So our goal is to really provide resources to this community of people so that you're not grabbing straws trying to figure out like which doctor should I go to, where should you know exactly what you're looking for, and the fit, and it has to, you know, fit. If you have a primary care physician, they normally can point you in the right direction with a good GI doctor, you know.
Yes. And I just want to back up your symposium. Tell us more about what's the date, how can they register?
Yeah, so the symposium is, they can go to our website too to register. It is March 30th, 2024. It's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And we're going to have a virtual portion of it too. So people, if they want to join virtually, they can join virtually as well. So we have some really good speakers. We have a keynote speaker, Dr. Jennifer Seminario. She's the director over the USF, University of South Florida IBD Center. She's going to be there. Dr. Mark Mosley, he's one of the surgeons from Tampa General Hospital, and Carolina Martinez, she's a rectal and colon surgeon as well. So we're going to have some really good expert panelists that's going to be there and give gems and allow, like, you know, the patients, the IBD patients, to be in a room with these specialists, because they don't know what to ask. They don't know where to go. Some of them are lost. You know, they're suffering in silence, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. It sounds like an amazing symposium. Is there a cost to attend, or is it?
Yeah, so we have early bird tickets. They're $47 right now. We also have health and wellness vendor opportunities. So if, you know, you're a mental health wellness person, we have those fitness specialists or professional. If you're a healthcare organization that wants to come and provide your, you know, let us know that you have those services available to the community, we have those available too. And it's all on our website. They can just grab it at the top. They go to the Stephanie A. Wynn Foundation.org, and there's a link at the top they can click on.
Awesome. Well, that is amazing. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for being here to share your story, but I can't let you go until we do a rapid fire. Is that okay?
Okay, that's fine.
All right. And before we get to that, I want to give you the opportunity. Is there any last words you want to say to our listeners or any, you know, anything you want to leave them with?
Yeah. So for those that are listening and you have IBD or you know somebody with IBD or even IBS for that matter, you know, don't give up, you know, get you a primary care physician, get you a gastroenterologist. You got to build yourself a team and you can't give up. Don't let your diagnosis define who you are. That's it.
Great. That is great. Don't let your diagnosis define who you are. I love that. I love that. All right, Stephanie. So let me know the first thing that comes to your mind to answer the question or finish the statement.
Okay.
Wellness means
quality of care.
I know I'm stressed when
I take a nap.
My go-to stress management solution is
sleeping.
Right. What is one thing you learned about yourself through your experience with IBD?
That I'm really strong.
I love that.
I'm really strong. I'm resilient.
Yes. And what is something people get wrong about you?
That I'm shy.
And you're not. I love that. Mm-hmm. What is something that you learned about yourself during the pandemic?
I learned that there's somebody out here waiting for me to show up for them. And so during that time is when, you know, I kept getting a download, like, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to tell your story. Somebody needs to hear your story. There's somebody out there that's going through what you've gone through and they need your help. They need to know that it's okay. It's going to be okay. And so from the pandemic, I learned that there's somebody, even if it's one person, waiting for me to show up for them.
I love that. And I think that's a great note to end on. So thank you so much, Stephanie. Please let them know your website one more time before we wrap up.
Yes, it's the Stephanie A. Wynn, WYNN, foundation.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Stephanie. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell a friend. Before you go, I would love to share a free stress management resource with you. Go to stressblueprint.com and download your free copy of the 3 questions to ask when you are stressed. Until next time, go out and be your best, do your best, and give your best.